welcome back, everyone. I think this is episode 3 of our new CX video cast. Good morning, Paul.
Morning.
How's everything going?
Excellent, excellent. Sunny but cold Chicago. It's
yes.
A little bit different than San Francisco.
Yeah, visiting us from the West Coast. I think your winters are a little different than ours. So,
yes.
Well, we've got a great topic for everyone this week. But before we do that, we wanted to kind of do a little bit of CX tool of the week combined with experiences now, what we're seeing in our daily lives. And so, Paul, with your visit to Chicago and the Chicago office, you actually noticed something and kind of a tool of the trade with customer experience. Tell us about it.
Well, so I was walking around our office and noticed something that's a little bit of both a pet peeve and a little bit of a aha kind of thing. As I walk through life and having experiences years ago, I read a book called The Design of Everyday Things, and it kind of wrecked my life, because as I read it, I realized that when I didn't know what to do on a toaster, or if I hit a door and I didn't know whether to open or close it, that was as someone not thinking about design. So as I was walking around the halls, I noticed that every door here has a push or a pull sign on it, knowing whether to push or pull to get through it. And I thought those were great visual clues that someone actually thought about the humans who were going to use this door. It was a clue that someone was thinking about customer experience. The notion of clues is a really powerful tool in designing customer experience, is actually leaving clues. When you go to a hotel, what you often see is the toilet paper folded under and the sink pulled shut. Those are clues that, hey, cleanliness is important in a hotel room. Those are clues that they left behind, that someone was actually thinking about the experience and making sure you knew that it was clean. The idea of clues comes from a guy named Lou Carbone. I think he was from Experience Engineering. It's been around for a while, but again, a very, very powerful thing in the design of customer experiences. So just noticing them here in our West Monroe office.
That's awesome. Perfect. All right. Well, let's go ahead then and get into our topic for this week. We had talked about CX strategy and the North Star last week. And when we were talking about it, you had mentioned the CX strategy includes the North Star, CX competencies, and then ultimately the initiatives of how you actually go about executing your strategy. So, or what makes up your strategy. So today we wanted to start and highlight kind of the high level. What are those CX competencies that we're talking about? So maybe you can start there.
Yeah, fantastic. So anytime a customer experience group is forming or trying to evolve, it needs to think about what is a framework through which I think about customer experience and like you said, the core competencies that I put together. There are a bunch of frameworks out there. We have a maturity model, which hits on kind of the key aspects of those competencies or best practices or capabilities. Mm-hmm. Forrester has one. The Customer Experience Professional Association, CXPA, mm-hmm. has one. They're all variations on the theme, but they have several components. Strategy at the high level is one of those components. And we did a deep dive. And then within strategy, we say, let's go look at some of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to take two bookends, strategies on one side, having a customer-centric culture would be the other bookend. And that's kind of the end game, is actually shifting. If you think about your culture and whether culture is often described as what you believe and what you do, your behavioral norms and your belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
Super hard to change, but when you do that, companies like a Zappos or an Apple or a Nordstrom, they have a culture that is constantly thinking about customer first and designing everything from that perspective. So very, very powerful, and there's a lot of different levers that you can do to shift your culture. So
mm-hmm.
those are the two bookends, and then in between there's two or three other competencies that we look at. In order to deliver customer experience regularly, you have to have some sort of level of customer understanding,
mm-hmm.
Or customer insights. So often we have to work with companies to actually build a voice of the customer program and the analytics and all of those things that go with centralizing and getting a holistic picture for what do your customers actually think about doing business with you.
Yeah,
that's a competency that companies don't often have. Design is not necessarily a competency every company has. So we look at things like that. Firms like IBM and Samsung and Ford, you know, in the last several years have been articles in New York Times and Harvard Business Review and Wall Street Journal about those companies actually adding a design capability. Capital One bought Adaptive Path because they wanted more design capabilities in their house. I think it was Ford that hired something like 1,000 ethnographers recently.
Wow.
I want to do ethnographic research. I actually want to get out into the field and actually look at people, right? So there's competencies like that that a company might build. That's probably a little bit more in the customer understanding than the design piece, but you get my gist. As you know, I'd hire designers to help me to design everything from the graphic side to experience design to interaction design.
Yeah.
A couple of other I don't know if they're competencies or capabilities that you need to have, but you got to have a metric system. How am I measuring customer experience and then holding people accountable? What are those metrics? Mm-hmm. How do I tie those metrics to operational metrics, to financial metrics? All of that tends to be a competency that companies either have or don't have or need to build and put in place to consistently deliver customer experiences. And then finally is something of a governance mechanism. Or an accountability mechanism, you know, which says, you know, how do I, you know, consistently make sure that any project that's being done, how do I allocate resources for projects, first of all? How do I then ensure that those projects are enabling or pushing up my customer experience metrics? When there's conflicts between, I've got two P&Ls that have different kinds of metrics and they're getting in the way of the customer experience, how do I mediate those conflicts?
Right.
That governance body plays a role in doing that. So those would be kind of the six or seven, you know, kind of core disciplines. And again, depending on whose model you look at, they may call them slightly different things, but those tend to be the basic foundations.
Got it. So you've talked a little bit about each one. Is there a... are there ones that are more important than the others, or where do people tend to spend their time versus where maybe they should spend more time based on what you've seen?
Great question. Customer experience is a little bit of a voyage, right? So there are companies who are just starting out. There have been companies who are dabbling for a little bit of time. There are companies that are pretty mature in their efforts. I would say just starting out, the most important thing to start working on is the customer understanding, and perhaps the governance, you know, and metrics. Those would be the three places that I'd start. Yeah, everything starts from just actually understanding what the heck do your customers, you know, care about and so forth. What often happens then after about a year and a half of doing that kind of stuff, they recognize, oh, we actually don't have a strategy. So we're doing a bunch of things. There's a lot of finding and fixing that we're doing, but we don't have kind of a holistic and broader strategy. Oh, and by the way, we probably need to engage our employees a little bit more. And so getting, kind of that strategy, maybe then a little bit of a dabbling in design, you know, upping the communications and training out to employees becomes important. I would say in the third phase, there's some switches that start to happen. The metrics become much more robust, you know, through that entire stack that I talked about. Culture starts taking over governance, where in the beginning you probably have a stronger governance and focus on just accountability. Where as you get a better culture and your metrics have started changing, your leadership is walking the walk, you're starting to allocate resources better, governance plays a little bit less of a role and culture now takes over because people are constantly thinking about it.
Right.
Their belief systems have changed and their behavioral norms have changed. You've got some of the capabilities to add customer insights into the design of a process or a new product or, you know, the implementation of new technology. So Again, it just evolves, you know, and the sophistication. But that's kind of where I would see kind of the emphases in different kind of stages of that maturity.
Interesting. So you bring up maturity and kind of it being a journey. So talk a little bit about how we help organizations map out, or you know, what tools do we use, or how do we frame up conversations to help organizations understand how they can build these competencies out?
Yeah, so we have a maturity model, and like I said, it's based on you know, largely based on you know, Forrester and CXPA. We're influenced, you know, it's influenced a lot by the Galbraith Star, which is an organizational design construct. It's got a lot of those same elements. Oftentimes, we'll come in, you know, again, this could be on its own. It could be you know, helping stand up a customer experience program. It could be part of a strategy. You know, we list it as one of the three things of a strategy engagement,
mm-hmm.
To get people thinking about that. But we can either do an expert review type of situation where we, you know, use that maturity model to kind of poke around the organization and get a feel for how they're doing. Oftentimes we will go out and just survey different parts of the company and say, look, you know, across, you know, these 30 odd, you know, six different categories and 30 sort of line items, you know, how are you doing? What would you rank your maturity as? And give us some comments about either what you're doing or how you're doing. Bring that together, compare that against some bench, you know, we've got some benchmark data that we've done in the past in terms of looking at maturity. And literally create a roadmap. Where are you in your own voyage? What, you know, what are the capabilities you need to bring? Do you even have a customer experience team? So again, if a company is early on in the maturity, we may be standing up just some basic foundational capabilities. If they've been doing it for a while and dabbling, mm-hmm. we're really looking and doing a gap analysis and saying, you got some great stuff, keep building that. Here's the next place you want to get to, but you've got some big gaps. Let's go fill in the strategy, you know, piece of it, or let's go actually create a design. Let's do some innovation sprints and get you a design methodology, like our Deepin methodology mm-hmm. for designing experiences. You know, so those, you know, we do that kind of thing.
Great. So, you know, I'm always curious to know, based on, you know, your experience and kind of doing these things, what's been the typical level of emotional intelligence, if you will, of organizations in terms of the self-awareness? Based on your observations of where you think an organization is versus their own idea of where they are, how often does that tend to match up?
I tend to find, I mean, almost invariably when I've done the, you know, when you ask people to fill out customer experience, you know, maturity assessment, they tend to rate themselves pretty poorly. They, you know, they know they're doing pretty bad. Depends. Some parts of the organization, you see this sort of higher level rating than what exists. There's always interesting conversations of, we think we have a strategy. We want to be we want to have the greatest customer experience. Okay, what does that mean? Costco or Apple, right? We talked about that last week. You know, that's not good enough. You got to dig deeper. And so sometimes mm-hmm. it's just clarifying. Yeah, we think we've got a good, you know, descriptive kind of thing. Oh, we've got a great culture. Yeah, you've got a great culture, but it's not focused on the customer. So, you know, sometimes companies have the hardest time. It's like, we've got a super, super culture, but we're about to do things very differently because our strategy has changed mm-hmm. and, you know, our place in the market has changed. You know, so I think companies like a John Deere or a USAA, you know, at Disney, they're constantly evolving, and sometimes it's really tough for them to evolve the culture with it. Look, yeah, you've been doing great stuff. We're doing something slightly different because our customers have changed. Now that means you have to change too. So,
right.
You know, I think that can become really challenging.
Yeah. Do you see organizations? I feel like it's the same thing with strategy, right? You need to be able to rate your organization on a maturity model as things evolve. So I'm assuming that maturity model evolves over time as your strategy and as your customers evolve.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. Because at some level, capabilities are capabilities, right? If I've got that, regardless, who cares of what my strategy is, the ability to understand customers, probably doesn't evolve, although the tools evolve, right? The tools in the last 5 years have gotten way more sophisticated than they used to be. So where you might have, you know, there were companies doing, you know, setting up listening posts a long time ago. So those tools have gotten much more sophisticated. They're still at the same level of listening to customers on a, you know, annual basis kind of thing. You can do dynamic journey mapping now with your Voice of the Customer program. It's pretty cool. Plus, you've got all sorts of text analytics and natural language processing, and there's some really, really interesting stuff. So you're right. I think in some ways, you know, the bar keeps raising, but there are core capabilities. Look, I've got a measurement framework. I may want to revisit that, but once I've got it, the heavy lifting is done and it's more tweaking. Strategy, kind of the same thing. I mean, at each level of maturity, you're getting more sophisticated. So in the beginning where I may define, you know, my North Star may be just trying to define what that customer experience vividly feels like from a customer's perspective. At a higher level, I'm evolving my entire company strategy to, you know, what purpose do we serve in the world, you know, so that it evolves kind of with customers. So, you know, I think the maturity piece is always good to look back on and say, you know, to me, this is a constantly evolving kind of thing. Does this still make sense? What is new maturity in this marketplace, given tools, given, you know, philosophies around design, you know, tools to impact, you know, engage employees and pivot culture. You know, those things get really interesting. I've got, you know, millennials in the workplace challenging kind of how it is I engage them and what it means to, you know, drive a customer-centric culture.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, this has been great, Paul, as always. I think, you know, we'll explore deeper these competencies over time in different episodes like we did with the strategies. So appreciate the rundown of you know, the high level, what folks need to be doing in order to build that customer-centric organization, building customer experience into their daily lives in their organization. So appreciate it, and hope you enjoy your time in Chicago, and we will talk soon.
Fantastic. Have a good week.
All right, weekend. You too. Yeah, you too. Take care.
Cheers.